Hi, it's Ken Moore with the Ken Moore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. And also, please do not forget to like and subscribe to our Kenmore Team YouTube channel so you can see John in all his glory there. John, how have you been doing this week?
Well, let's see. I was watching people drive too fast for conditions and...
Oh, dude, man, you are not kidding. When that storm hit earlier this week on Thursday and it was like cars in the ditches and yeah, it's... we're in it. There's nothing that I'm happy about for this. Because, you know, I told you we were having that early spring real estate market, record number of listings, and people just don't like to go out and look at holes in the snow. So I need it to be done this weekend, melt and go away. I don't know.
40s next week.
Yeah, let's hope so. So I am hoping for that. And I've got to start off the show this week with a huge apology.
Okay.
If you bet on the Super Bowl based upon my prediction of square footage,
oh yeah,
I'm sorry. You should not listen to me about Super Bowl picks. So, John, my correlation of 5 years of Super Bowl winners to the square footage of the homes owned by the quarterback was absolutely wrong.
Well, you know, there is a factor called the quality of the organization and the game planning. And,
yeah, they bucked that trend on square footage, and that was so. I got that one wrong. I just need to stick to real estate. I mean, I tried to correlate it to it. So yeah, for those that used my metrics to place a sports, number one, I hope you didn't. And number two, if you did, I am sorry.
The Chiefs, as Daryl Waltrip would say, they ran out of the luck bank, ran out.
We did not see the three-peat.
No.
So I'm back to our crazy, normal celebrity real estate stories. And John, I know you were telling me that... that Keeping Up with the Kardashians had recently started back up and you were excited about this new season.
In a parallel universe.
So I'm coming in hot with a Keeping Up with the Kardashians story. And so for those of you that do watch that show, John, I'm kidding, of course. John
I know. McKay, everyone has their own taste.
John McKay did not tell me that. But for those that do watch this show... Kris Jenner has listed her Kardashian house that has been on like 20 seasons of the show for $13.5 million.
Wow.
Now, she bought that house with her now ex, Caitlyn Jenner, in 2010 for $4 million. It's 8,000 square feet on 1.5 acres. And her timing is pretty impeccable and strategic because there is a lot of buyers, as we know, increased demand of people looking because of the Los Angeles wildfires. And so not a lot of available homes on the market. That's been obviously an issue because of that natural disaster. So, you know, I mean, she's not dumb. I think she looked at potential demand there and said, here's an opportunity to get rid of an extra house that we have.
Yes.
There was also, I saw a couple news stories this week in relation to that. When there's a natural disaster like this, man, it really shines a light on a lot of things that are happening. And one of the things is we've seen over the past 10 years a lot of foreign investment in that market with foreign buyers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those houses sit empty. And so here you have a natural disaster and a lot of people needing homes and looking for homes. And you've got people who have, for the most part, just parked money in these homes. And it starts to create some animosity in those neighborhoods and with locals there. And so I think you're going to see some legislation, more legislation and registrations that have to happen as they look at that market. Other than just the Foreign Investment Tax Act that we have to deal with as well. So a lot of these issues start to come to light, and they're still struggling with getting the right amount of homes for people in that situation. Well, as we go to our as we kind of move focus to our local real estate stories, about once a quarter, I like to get a property management expert in here to talk to us. So I'd like to welcome to the show with us today. We've got with us Mr. Brett Patrick with Kenmore Team Property Management. Brett, welcome to the show.
Yes.
Thanks for having me, guys.
How's everything been going in your world?
It's been good. It's been a good first quarter for sure.
Okay, so I brought a property management story, and then I'm gonna get your take on this, Brett. So because this is an interesting pivot that I saw. So earlier in the week this week, Redfin, which is a more like a national portal, Redfin cut a deal to syndicate their multifamily rental listings with Zillow. In fact, Zillow basically, in very simplistic terms, paid Redfin $100 million to have those listings on Zillow's site.
Yes.
Redfin then turns around, talk about increasing revenue, decreasing costs. Redfin turns around and announces layoffs of 450 employees. McKay, you saw the story.
I did.
Yeah, and so it's like, man, here's this asset sale that we have. Sales in real estate, probably revenue was down a little bit with that model, and they're like, here's how we make up the difference. But I thought what was interesting about the story as I dug into it is that last year Zillow had 37,000 multifamily properties on their platform. They increased that to 50,000 multifamily properties last year, and they're looking at going to 140,000 rentals.
Wow.
On their platform. And Brett, we've talked on this show, not when you've been here, but John and I have talked on the show about, with housing affordability being where it's at, that portions of the nation becoming a rental nation, a lot of people renting. And so what's your take on this syndication of additional listings and Zillow kind of making a play to be like the rental MLS?
Yeah, it's really interesting. My first kind of thought of that is, when we're listing rental properties, specifically, I guess, multifamily in this case, but any rental properties, the importance of making your property stand out when those people are just going to be scrolling through Zillow looking for a rental, there's not going to be 50 anymore. There could be 100 or other
right,
options
right.
there.
Yeah.
So that is kind of where the first thing that I think is just like the competition is going to be a whole different game there, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you guys go through and do a great job with marketing and pictures and that type of stuff. And that's an extra step.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's a conversation I have a lot with people is the importance of quality marketing and photos and making sure that the property is what in our case rent ready, how we call it, when we're putting it on the market, because Zillow's kind of turned into, I'll bring a little millennialism in. It's kind of turning into the Tinder of real estate.
Oh. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where it's like you're swiping through.
Swipe right.
You got to kind of be able to, you know, make yourself stand out a little bit.
Okay, got you.
That's funny.
I know, Ed, that's a really good point. This is why I love having guests on the show. That is not something I would have said. and so that's awesome.
But if it's an apt description.
It is. It is a very good description of that. And I like that a lot. And you're right, is you have to stand out in those situations. And I know we're really adamant about, we have a certain checklist, like you mentioned, rent ready. And so you've got to have things fixed in the property. You've got to have the right smoke detector. You know, I always tell people it's different when it is very hard when someone has been living in a property and then decides to rent it out. That is sometimes where we get the most friction, because I can't tell you how many times, you know, Brett's come to me and said, man, this owner doesn't want to fix A, B, and C, but it's on our checklist. And I'll say, well, why don't they want to fix it? And he said, well, I don't know. They just said that it was good enough for them when they lived there.
Interesting.
And it's a different perspective. Like, okay, it might have been good enough for you when you lived there, but now we have landlord-tenant laws, and we have to have a certain number of smoke detectors, and we have to have a CO. You didn't have to have all of those things when it was just occupied yourself, and that could put you in hot water if you don't fix it.
Yeah, correct. That is a conversation I have all the time, and it's a different the landlord-tenant relationship is different than when the owner living in the house there. So we're trying to make the reason we have those in place is we're trying to make that relationship, as like you had said, as frictionless as possible.
Gotcha. Okay, Brett, I've got another question for you because I see a lot on the sales side. So somebody will call me and they'll say, Lance, I bought my house a year and a half ago or 2 years ago. I've got a temporary job relocation for 2 to 3 years. And so I'm going to move, but I think I'm going to come back to the Tri-Cities. So I bought my house a year and a half ago, but I want to rent it out now while I'm gone on this sabbatical.
Oh.
And so I'll say, okay. And then I'll call Brett and I'll say, like, Brett, here's somebody to talk to.
Yeah. And my instant reaction is, if you bought it in the last two years, I get a little bit of a pit in my stomach, because I can almost put money on the conversation that we're going to have.
Well, just give me that conversation now.
Yeah, it's going to go something about like this. Brett, I have this property. So I look up the address, look at the old MLS listing or the old Zillow listing. I see that they bought it, you know, 2022. And I'm like, it'll rent for $2,500. And they go, are you kidding me? My mortgage is $3,800. And I'm like, okay. That doesn't work.
Right.
Like, I don't know what to tell you. That is what it is.
Gotcha. And so I reckon you're telling me this because they bought when mortgage rates were higher.
Mm-hmm.
So a year and a half, 2 years. So they bought when mortgage rates were higher. And so that purchase amount with a higher interest rate on the mortgage, the rent doesn't cover it.
Yeah, the rent hasn't caught up to where to cover those mortgages. And I completely understand with those owners. I bought my house in August of 23. If I was to rent it today, my rent would barely cover half.
Gotcha. So yeah. So in that situation,
about 60%.
And so when people are looking at that, now they swap over to me on the sales side, and so this is what we talk about as a shifting market.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, a lot of agents in this real estate market up until a year ago, like they just haven't been in real estate long enough. They haven't even, they haven't even seen a market like this. They don't understand what to do. And so they move over to the sales side, and they're like, well, I know lots of people over the last 5 years that bought a house and then 2 years later sold it. It's the same thing for me on the sales side, because when people have only owned the house for a year and a half, you're going to have some transactional costs. You're going to have a listing commission that you negotiate. You're going to have title and escrow fees, to flood certification fees. You're going to have, you know, the buyer's going to have an appraisal. So there's going to
forget about that pesky excise tax.
Excise tax.
Everyone forgets about the excise tax
as well. And so excise tax running between 1.53 and 1.78%. If your segment of the market only appreciated 2%, it takes 1 year just to cover excise tax. And so in that situation, you're eating into some of that equity that these people might have put down. And I like what you said. Rental is tough. But what you're saying is, if they financed probably less than 20, you know, if they financed, you know, less than 80% or around that, it's not going to cover the mortgage payment. So they're going to be feeding it each month.
Correct. Yeah.
The other thing that I find in that situation is when someone's feeding a rental property like that, how do they feel about HVACs going out and issues at the house?
Well, they don't love it. So yeah, no, that makes our conversations harder with repairs, for sure. When an owner is already paying $500, $1,000 of the expenses, when those HVAC costs, even smaller costs than that, they're really nitpicky, and it makes our job harder to manage, because we have, you know, tenants that live in a property, they pay rent, there's landlord tenant law, these things have to get fixed, and then the owner is in a pinch.
Yep.
And so, because they're already running at a deficit. And so it's tough. It makes that conversation really hard.
So yeah, so that market has definitely shifted in that area, and those are some really, really good numbers. And we've been talking about the same thing on the sales side. So, you know, be careful. What I call it an accidental landlord. I just say be mm-hmm. careful when you become an accidental landlord. You know, where to make sure you have enough reserves to handle that, so you could fix a major repair like that, to make sure that you have the ability to feed that if you're negative cash flow for the number of months that you're going to be gone. Now, for some people, it works out fantastic, and usually when they're in a better equity position. So, like, if someone's, you know, lived in a house for 20 years, now their kids have grown and gone, and they're like, hey, we're going to go on a 3-year adventure and sabbatical and travel. Now, they have equity in that house. Mm-hmm. Those payments do cover it. And that's a really, really good fit for property management.
Yeah, I love when I look up when they bought it and it says 2017.
Yeah, right. Even 2017. Like, yeah, like, you act like that's a long time ago. It's because you're young.
It's
like,
not,
and so, yeah, like, you're young, and so you think that was a long time ago. I'm like, oh, that was just a few years ago. So, but you're right. If you bought in 2017, you're like, oh, this is a great rental.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
For sure.
Those are good points, Brett. Well, we're going to our first break. When we come back, I am going to hit Brett with a few more questions about pricing rentals in this market and what the Tri-Cities rental market is starting to look like.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our...
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been getting an update on property management, rentals, what the rental market looks like. Brett, great to have you in the studio with us.
Yeah, I'd love to be here.
So when I have a guest, I always run out of time, so you're going to have to bear with me. I got to get some inventory out there for a pick three. Because we did, right before the white stuff came, we got some great listings on the market. Pick number one, 10421 South 952 PRSE in Kennewick. This is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 1,800 square feet on nearly a half acre. So once again, ooh, some great, great land with this. New water heater, newer HVAC, spacious living room with lots of natural light, great for gathering and entertaining. Beautifully designed kitchen, high-end granite slab counters, and then fully fenced backyard, mature maple trees, lots of shade. Before long, this stuff's going to melt. You're going to need a big property. And here's the crazy thing about this property, the price, $474,900 on a half acre in Kennewick. So great, great one. Pick number two, 5606 West 17th. I'm going to take you into Creekstone for a 3-bed, 2-bath, 1731 square feet, new LVP flooring, new carpet in the bedrooms, new HVAC, water heater new, and, I mean, the house is practically new. And so you've got a great living room, vaulted ceilings, corner gas fireplace, kitchen has stainless steel appliances, pantry closet, built-in cabinetry, a sliding door to the back patio, and then a fully fenced backyard. And listen to this, another one in that range of $430,000. So great, great property right in the heart of it in Kennewick. And then pick number three, 28 South Dawes in Kennewick, 3-bed, 3-bath, 1490 square feet. This is a townhome with LVP flooring, planked wood accent wall in the living room, newer water heater as well, newer baseboard and doors, great kitchen, sleek stainless steel appliances. The primary suite has a sitting area, big walk-in closet, spa-like ensuite with dual sinks. And then even though it's a townhouse, you've got some great outdoor living with a fully fenced backyard that has artificial turf, so you don't have the maintenance. And this price is $327,500. So there's some great, great inventory out in the market. So I just showed you some great inventory with pricing, but one of the things that we get when we're selling homes, and we talk about this on the show quite a bit, is we get a discussion on pricing. And now I've got Brett here, and so Brett, talk to me a little bit about pricing with rentals and how you go about that. I know you have a huge portfolio that you extract data out of, mm-hmm. but yeah, talk to me about what the market looks like, what you've been seeing in Tri-Cities, and then how you go about pricing a rental versus a sale.
Yeah, so like you had mentioned, we have a large portfolio, so I have exact data that I can pull from a property that I'm very familiar with to be able to use as comparables for rental pricing. So I start there is like, what have I rented in the last 3 to 6 months that's near that property, just like you kind of would with a sales price for a sales price. And so that's how I start and determine a rental price. And there's certain properties that I don't even have to look. If you're in East or West Pasco, Ajo 1382, I can tell you within $100 how much the thing's going to rent for.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. So I also know you do a lot. Is it Coldwater Creek out there in Kennewick?
Clearwater Creek. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, okay. Clearwater Creek right there off, right by the office off of Steptoe. That's one of our favorite neighborhoods. We have 12. I think we have 12 in there. I'll have to go back and double check, but it's about 12 rentals in that neighborhood. Again, if you tell me the square footage of that property and how many bedrooms, bathroom we got to look at, I can tell you how much it rents for.
Well, that's nice, and that experience is great. I mean, sometimes, you know, people will hear me on the radio, and they'll be like, oh, I'll call Lance and check, which is great. I love that as a first call. And then my second sentence is usually like, let me check with Brett, and then I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of, you know, boots on the ground experience for that with pricing.
Yeah, you could say that.
And then what about, like, where we're at today versus where we were a year ago? Like, what's your general take on what's going on with rental prices?
Yeah, so our average days on market hovers around 28 days to rent. And that'll fluctuate quarterly, a couple days, 1 or 2 days. And so if you go back to 2020, our average days was around like 10 to 15 days.
Okay, gotcha.
So it has, it's quote unquote maybe doubled, but it's still under a month. So there's not a ton of doom and gloom there. We've just noticed that things like price, which location and condition matter way more today than they did 4 years ago. And you probably said the exact same thing about sales price.
And a lot of it's driven by the inventory too, because Now your house that you're managing for a landlord, I mean, like, it's not rocket science. Like, I drive by, you know, Road 100, and mm-hmm. I see these beautiful new apartment mm-hmm. buildings with all these amenities. And, like, that's the type of condition you're probably getting compared to.
Correct. Yeah. It's like, okay, I could go rent a house where I have to do yard work, and I have to pay all the utilities, which in an apartment complex, you might only pay electricity. And it doesn't have a pool, and it's, you know, 2003 built or whatever, you know. Yeah, if you're in East Pasco or West Pasco, then, you know, in Ajo 2005, like, you're going to be compared to the GOAT, like the apartment complex called the GOAT.
Yep.
Off of Burns Road. It's my favorite one just because of the name. We'll get into that. But you're going to be this nice new apartment complex with a pool and, you know, maybe a workout room, and, you know, that's the same price as yours.
Yep.
It's a common misconception, actually, is that your single family property is worth more than a apartment complex. And we can get into all that, which we don't have time to. I could spend a whole hour on why that is.
Right.
But it's just they're different markets. So,
there's different markets mm-hmm. for sure. So when you're going over, I know a lot of landlords, and even myself, when I'm investing in something, like to me, like, the money matters. So totally. There's a lot of stuff that you take care of, but I'm going to look at a statement at the end of the month mm-hmm. and I know that money's going to matter. And so what happens if, you know, I'm trying to push the limit a little bit though, like you say, you know, I think this should rent for $2,000. I'm like, Brett, no, like the numbers, I've done all my numbers. and I want you to try to do it for 2,200. Like what happens next?
Yeah, so there's the most common, especially for new investors or accidental landlords, more seasoned investors, people who've been doing this a long time know this, but what people don't understand is how expensive vacancy is. So, okay. Like, I'm talking, like, the time that takes to get the property rented or in between tenants or that's kind of what I'm referring to. So, if your property rents, you're trying to get 2,200 and it takes a month to get that. We'll just say it does. We take 30 days to get that. You just spent just $2,200 just in lost rents,
okay,
from vacancy cost. That's not counting repairs if you had a previous tenant. That's not counting utilities. That's not counting, you know, a bunch of other things in there. So,
okay.
So that alone. Now I always try to. If I say the property can rent for $2,000 and you're trying to rent it for $2,200,
yep.
I'm fairly confident that we're going to probably have to do a price reduction. I've been wrong, so I'm not. Things happen, but that's
10% though, and you're like 10%. And you're like, man, I yeah. know it closer than 10%, and so
yep.
So where before you said that your average days on the market to rent is 28 days, but I'm assuming that's at the price you recommend.
Correct.
In general. And so, so I told you, no, I know more than you. I want 2,200.
Yep.
And then at the end of 30 days, it has not rented. And then I looked at my caller ID and I see you're calling me.
Yep.
And so now you say when I reduce it to the 2,000, it's going to take me another 28 days to get a tenant in there.
But potentially, yeah.
So I've lost 4,400. Well, not 4,400. That was my price. I've lost 4,000.
Yep.
I've lost $4,000 in vacancy.
Correct.
Okay.
Because you're having to kind of start all over again.
Correct.
Right. Where if I Correct. Would have just taken the lower amount at 2,000, you would have had it done in 28 days.
Correct. Okay. On average. Yep. Gotcha. Yeah.
I get that. So that's a big cost.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's
Well,
just
you
something...
can't just go, boop, boop, here's a tenant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Especially with screening and all
it's
the
It's not like whack-a-mole.
So. No.
Yeah.
No. And you don't want to rush through a screening, which, again, another radio show about screening. But,
We only have a 30-minute show. So pricing has become a big factor for you in that situation. I will definitely keep an eye on that, and that's good for our landlords to
hear
about.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I know off the air, we don't have a ton of time left, but off the air, you had mentioned to me between our break real quick that you said recently you were doing a few more midterm rentals. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, so for certain situations and certain people, doing rentals where they're a minimum 3-month lease and up to depends on the situation, but they might want to do something like a minimum 3-month to 6-month has become a little bit of a niche that we're starting to see pop up, and we've been kind of able to fill.
Okay, so 3 to 6 month rental, because a lot of times people want a year lease, like
correct.
For sure. So those are harder to find.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're doing, and in these cases, they are furnished. So,
oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's something that we're starting to see some success in, because with it's not an Airbnb, so we're not getting some random person who just signed up on Airbnb.
Okay.
Where we are screening that person, so it's an in between. Like, hey, I have a special case. I can't have a year lease. For whatever reason.
Okay.
I can't have it locked in for a year, but I could do a 3 to 6 month and be flexible. But I don't want to do Airbnb because whether that's too risky for me, or maybe my HOA doesn't allow it, or I live in City of Pasco and they have a 30-day rent minimum, whatever the situation is.
Oh, yeah. And some of the HOAs even are not allowing Airbnb.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so, but I need to come back in the summer for 3 months, or whatever the situation is. I've heard them all. So we're seeing some success in that, and with that niche of midterm rentals.
Okay. Do you have any of those right now?
Yeah, we have. I have one right now.
Okay.
In South Richland on Purple Sage Loop, I believe.
Nice area.
Okay, yeah, so it's like 2,400 square feet, three bedroom, two bath, office, three car garage, really nice. And we put it up, and it's already has an application on it, and that one's gonna be $3,200 a month.
Okay, so they definitely, because it's furnished and it's short term, you pay a little more.
Yeah, it's actually not even the furnishing. It's the allowing for the short term flexible lease options. Which is what gets that extra money.
And there's turnover for sure.
Correct.
Man, where were you when my kids had college internships in random towns across the U.S.?
Yeah, and so
that would have been something, like, that's something I would look for in that. Like, my kid has an internship there, and they get a housing allowance, but I don't want to furnish a place for them to stay.
Yeah.
For 3 months. Plus, Airbnb nightly fees are astronomical. So this is a good option.
Yep. Yeah.
Or, I mean, we always hear, you know, I think it's been, you know, over hyped a little bit, but like, you know what I'm going to say, traveling nurses.
Yeah.
Like, people call me all the time. Oh, just rent it to traveling nurses. They pay millions of dollars for them to stay somewhere.
We do find those every now and then. Like, my condo that I have furnished was to a traveling nurse at Catholic.
Okay, gotcha.
But the recent application that we got for this rental in South Richland is for someone wanting to finish building, they're in between a little bit.
So they sold their house.
Correct.
And it's like the new one's not done for 3 months and all their stuff's in storage.
Correct.
Let's just not unpack it twice. It's a good option. Yeah. So there's a lot of options for that.
Yeah.
Well, very, very, very cool. Well, Brett, thanks for being on the show. As always, we're right. We ran out of time. I think we're now into somebody else's show. So we're going to thank you for coming in and talking. We'll have to get you back next quarter with all of some of these other topics that you talked about. If anybody has any questions for property management or considered using a property manager, go to kenmoreteam.com. Just shoot me a contact message and I'll get you straight over to Brett on that. And as always, hopefully with melted, no snow anywhere, we will be right back here next week talking about real estate.
Right here on News Talk 870.